And it's time now for another chat with another guest on our Memories of Music program, and it's Mr. Ken Weaver. Ken.
About 1971.
How many years had you spent with the company?
35 years.
That's a fair number of years. Well, what were you doing at the time of your retirement, Ken?
I worked in the garage at the Clarabelle Open Pit.
Well, now, Ken, we happen to know that you have a number of interesting hobbies and you've got quite a story to tell, but we'd like to start at the very beginning. Where were you born? Where was your hometown?
I was born in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan.
Now, there's a very famous man comes from Prince Albert. Now, who would that be?
That's Honest John Diefenbaker.
Honest? Have you ever met Mr. Diefenbaker?
No, I haven't.
You've heard him talk or speak or something, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, that's right.
Well, now, of course, that's rather an unfair. Of course, you never would have met him there. If you did, you wouldn't remember it, because how old were you when you left Prince Albert?
I'd be about 3 years old.
How come you left Prince Albert?
Well, my mother's parents were near Wingham, and my father joined up in 1914. My mother brought my sister and I down to stay with her parents.
Oh, yes. Now, for the benefit of anybody who doesn't know where Wingham is, would you tell us something about Wingham?
It's southern Ontario. It's about 70 miles north of London. It's a farming area.
How big is Wingham now? Any idea?
No, I don't really know the population now of Wingham.
It's a pretty fair size. 3,000 or 4,000, would it be that?
Yes, it's one of the four towns of Huron County.
Right. Well, now, you then would, you would go to school then, I guess, in Wingham, would you?
Close to Wingham. Went to a school in the country there.
What are some of your memories of your school days?
Oh, I don't know, it was a 2 mile walk to school, no buses in those days. You walked, or if you were lucky to get a ride with somebody in a horse and buggy or something.
Do you remember the name of your first teacher?
Miss Brooks.
Was that your first and only teacher, or did you have...
No, several. I remember the first one, yeah.
This a one-room school, or were there more than...
One-room school.
I see. What was your favorite subject going to school?
Oh, I didn't have a favorite subject. No.
All right. Which one did you get your best marks in?
Oh, I don't know. I guess maybe reading.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What do you remember reading back in those old days? Remember any of your readers? Some of the stories?
No, I can't recall any moment, no.
They're gone now, eh?
Yeah.
I didn't ask you about your father. He returned then to Wingham, did he, after the war?
Yes, and he bought a farm in the area. We stayed there till about 20 years or more.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, after you finished school in Wingham, what happened next?
I worked in the farm for a while, and then I decided to come up north 1 year. So I went to a lumber camp up in northern Ontario for one winter.
Now, let's not go too fast here. You did you not, when you finished school, first of all, work at thrashing gangs and whatnot?
Yes,
around Wingham,
I used to go out in the fall with different outfits and thrash grain from one farm to another.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be... hard work, but fairly good, well-paying work, right?
Well, yes, and it was long hours, but it was nice.
The days of the combines, or
no,
before
that
the combines?
No, that would be before the combines, yes. We'd go from one farm to another and be a half a day or a day thrashing at each barn, you know.
Well, that would be quite an experience.
Yeah, and you sure had good meals, because the women used to compete to see who could put up the best meal, and we benefited by that.
that's a great era, Ken, an era that I think that that's going. Incidentally, neighbors, we're talking here with Ken Weaver, who retired from Inco in 71 after 35 years with the company. Well, now, Ken, after you've done some threshing around the in the fall around Wingham through 27, 28, and 29, or into the Depression hit around about that time, then you decided to come north, as you said.
That's right, yeah.
Where did you, How'd you come north? Did you hitch a ride? Drive
yeah,
or
there
what?
Was a fellow brought a truck load of us up in 1935 to the lumber camp. We went up to Tomogamy, and I got a job there for part of the winter, and then I went to Elk Lake for the balance of that winter.
Well, you say a fellow decided to take a truckload up. Did he take a cut of your wages, or did he...
No, he just he charged us so much a piece to deliver us to the north. To bring us up.
Well, that's fair enough. Hey, yeah, that's how he made his money.
Yeah, and if you went back with him, well, you'd have to pay more. Most of them went back, but there's a few of us stayed.
Oh, yeah. How many did you say went up with you?
I think there was 13 or 14 in the load, and they all went back but two of us.
Well, you and one other fellow stayed, eh?
Yeah.
What was the other fellow's name?
I couldn't recall now.
You forget now, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Was he from
he was
the
from,
Wingham area?
From the area, yeah. But I didn't...
Obviously, you haven't seen him since, I guess,
no,
eh?
No, no. I only met him on the way up, like.
Now, what was the first outfit you worked with up here? In the Millens, was it, did you mention?
Millens at Tomogamy, Millen Lumber Company at Tomogamy. I worked there, and then later on in the winter, I went to Elk Lake to work for Craig Brothers up at Elk Lake.
Did you, I think, as we're getting ready for the show, mention that Millens is still standing, right?
Right, right, yes. That's a big outfit now, just north of Tomogamy.
What type of work would you be doing as lumbering? Would you be...
We were clearing a right-of-way for a railroad most of the time, clearing the brush out, and they were laying a railroad track into the mill, yeah.
Into the mill, where from...
From Tomogamy Station.
I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be easy work, but it wouldn't be any harder than threshing, I guess, hey?
No, no, no.
So, this takes us on then through until you stayed up there a couple of years, as you say, gets us back this about 36. You went back home then, did you?
After I left the lumber camp, I went home for the summer. And then in the fall, I came up here again and finally got a job with Inco in 36.
Now, I like to find out from fellows about getting that first job. I mean, those would be the days when there'd be quite a lineup, eh?
Yes, oh yes, a big lineup, yeah.
How'd you come up here that time?
I drove up in a car I had.
Well, you were getting to know with the rich people now. You
had
a Model A at the time, eh?
Yeah.
And did you have any connections? Did you know anybody, or did you just get taken out of the lineup?
I was taken out of the lineup, yeah.
I guess they asked you what type of work you had done before.
Yes.
Correct?
I think being a farmer maybe helped. They figured you would. Weren't afraid to work, yeah.
Do you, how many days were you up here before you got hired?
I was only here 2 days. I got hired on Friday the 13th. It was about 2 weeks after that before I got a call to come in, but I was on the payroll. I had my foot in the door anyway.
Well, how about that, eh? That must have been a great feeling, certainly back in the Depression days.
Yeah, it was, for sure, yeah.
Where were you staying at this time?
Well, at that time, I stayed at the Montreal Hotel until I got...
That Montreal Hotel is not here anymore, eh?
No, it's torn down now. It was on Adam Street.
What was your first job? What kind of work did you do?
I worked in the receiving bins at Coppercliff, unloading the train cars, unloading the ore off them.
Then did you not meet it seems to me you met a fellow from your Wingham area here
time,
eh?
One fellow I knew from down at Wingham was already working here. I used to go and visit him occasionally.
Yeah. Well, nice to have a friend, eh?
Yes.
Is he still around?
No, he's retired and he's moved away. I don't know where he is right now.
No. Right. Well, then once you, we got you a young fellow in 36, you're about 25 or 26 years old or something in there, eh?
Yes.
Did you not say you met a young fellow named Levine, Roy Levine or something, and then stayed at his mother's or something?
We were both started work the same day, and I was working with him. So I was looking for a place to stay, and he said his mother kept a few boarders, so I wound up staying there until I got
married.
And you'd
have pretty happy memories of those early
years
in the boarding house, eh?
Yes, yes, and I met him just two or three months ago downtown again.
Talked over the old days?
Oh, yes, we had a good chat.
Well, I hope that he's listening to this show. You better give him a call, or at least we'll see if we can get him listening to this one. Now, but You didn't stay in the boarding house all that long.
No.
And you had a reason for not.
Yes, well, I was engaged to be married before I came up, and as soon as I figured I had a job that was going to last for a while, I sent down word, and my wife came up. Her parents brought her up, and we were married, and that's how that got started, yeah.
What was her maiden name?
Louise Wilkins.
And did you say where was she was from? From
Paisley? She was from Paisley, yes. That's about 40 miles from Wingham.
How had you met Louise in the first place?
I was working for a construction outfit building a bridge in Paisley. This outfit was from Wingham, and got the job to build a bridge in Paisley, so that's how I met my wife.
For some reason, I think that Paisley is a kind of a Scotch settlement, am I right?
Yeah, yeah, dead on, yeah.
And is Mrs. Weaver still living in Stone?
Yeah, oh yes, yes, good health.
Oh, good, well, we're going to have to ask you her about more about her. Where did you live when you were first married?
We lived on Adam Street West, just across from the courthouse. The house is torn down now, but...
Of course, you've seen a lot of changes in Sudbury then,
yes,
in the last 35
yes,
years,
a lot of changes, yes.
And where did you go from there?
We moved to, I think it was Dufferin Street for a while, and then in 1939, we built a house in Lockerbie, where we're still living.
Oh. Well, now, what about family? Have you any family?
Yes, we have three of a family, two boys and one girl.
Oh, what are their names? Where are they? What are they doing?
Two sons, Bill and Ernie, are in business themselves, the Bristol Machine Works. My daughter married a farmer down near where I was raised, near Wingham.
Oh, that's keeping it all with the family. Now, fellas, let's give a little plug in here for the Bristol Machine Works. What type of work do they do there?
That's machine work, like heavy equipment, machining and repairing mine equipment and construction equipment. It's heavy work.
Well, now, I happen to know, Ken, that you have a flair, a talent for working with machines. I guess the boys inherited that or something, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the others were mechanically minded, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. It's great to know what you can do here, to have a talent in one area.
Yes.
Now, I've also been told, Ken, that you have quite an interest in antiques, that you're interested in old guns and old gas, steam engines.
Yes,
anyway.
Yes.
What got you started in that?
Well, I had a weakness for anything with wheels on it, I guess, and I also like guns, so I started collecting a few bullets and then picked up the odd gun, and then I got looking around and found some steam engines and restored them and got them running.
Well, now that's great. Now tell us about what was the first steam engine that you got?
The first one, I believe, was in 1897, a portable steam engine.
Well, what would it be used for? I
mean, it was used to drive a sawmill or a thrashing outfit.
Would they be pretty common? Would every farmer want to own one or something like that?
Not every farmer, but a lumberman would own one, or maybe one farmer in 10 would own one, and then he'd thrash for everybody, thrash for...
1897, that's going back a fair number of years. I mean, I'm trying to get... This, of course, is before cars, isn't it? When did the first cars get running, the first gas engines?
The first, Yeah, that would be, I guess, around 1900, wouldn't it?
About 1900, but this would be before there was gas
engines,
yes,
eh? That's right, that's true, yeah.
But were there not steam cars at that time, or did they come
yes,
later?
No, there were steam cars, I guess, around 1900 as well. They're outdated now, of course, but there's still a few of these shows that you go to.
The price of gas, maybe they're going to come back into vogue.
Yes, I understand some of the motor companies are working on it now, again, trying to get it more efficient, you know.
It would be interesting,
yeah.
Of course, of course, we can always grow our own wood, if necessary.
Yes.
A little easier to grow than tires, eh?
Right.
Now, this 1897 steam engine, how did you feed it? I mean, with the log?
We burned wood in it, yeah.
And it would, how did it work? It would build up pressure and then
water? Yes, you'd have to get the water boiling, get enough steam pressure to to run it, and it was very simple to run.
I'm thinking of little tiny steam engines they used to sell to kids as toys.
Yes,
do you remember those things?
Oh, yes, I had one. Yeah, when I was
I had one. I couldn't make mine work, but I guess you could make yours work, couldn't
well,
you?
Oh, yes, it used to work, all right. Yeah.
I guess it's all the way you hold your mouth or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, now, we're talking about steam. And again, as we were getting ready for the show, we're kicking it around. You suggested they had steam locomotives way back about Civil War days, did they not?
I imagine so, right?
1867.
Mm-hmm.
When did the first, when did our friend Isaac Watt, or Sir Isaac Watt, come up with his engine? Would that be about 1850 or around
there? I imagine it's around there. I don't just recall the date, but it would be in that area.
Somebody will look this up in an encyclopedia and
inform
in and tell you you should have known.
That's right. I should have looked it up myself.
It's a little easier if you have an encyclopedia.
Yes.
Well, now, you said you get your sons to help you sometimes with your repairs. Is that right?
Some of the engines you get, there's parts missing or broken, and you can't buy a new one, so I go down to my son's shop and they generally come up with an answer.
They'll make it's kind of handy.
It's real handy. Yeah. It's real handy. Yeah.
Ken, I think you've got this thing figured out pretty well, Ken. Now, tell me also something about steam engine clubs. Are there not?
Yes, there's several in Ontario. There's a really good one at Milton, and another one is George and Bay Club, they call it, where it's you meet a lot of collectors, and naturally we all have the same interests, so you can trade parts and talk it over and learn something.
You tell lies to each other and
Yeah, as much as you can get away with, yeah.
And trying to see if you can horse trade on some various parts.
Yeah, yes.
Well, now, what's your ambition now?
The engines I had, I've sold them to museums, and now I'm looking for more. Always looking for more, and I have a few gas engines around that I'm restoring now. They're again looking for more.
Well, you're certainly doing the work that you like. It seems to me you have a 1910 gas engine, is that right?
Yes, that's what I'm working on at the present time, yeah.
Now, a 1910 gas engine, would that be a one-cylinder effort? Or
yes, that's a one-cylinder. About 6 horsepower, and I guess it weighs a ton.
Yeah. It, though, replaced steam. I guess people thought it was more efficient than steam, eh?
Yes.
Why? Because it took less firing after?
That's right. Once you got it going, it would run by itself, where steam requires a man with it all the time.
I got to say this, Ken, that you, 35 years with the firm hasn't done you any harm. You're looking pretty good.
I'm feeling good. Feeling good.
Well, of course, having a hobby and doing what you want to do is some bearing on that, I guess.
Yes,
eh?
And
well, now, let's, what about, you told us about your family. Have you got any grandchildren?
Yes, we have nine grandchildren. Three children, each had three more.
That sounds reasonable. Any of the grandchildren inherited this mechanical mindedness?
Yes, my oldest grandson is 16, and him and his chums bought an old truck for $5 and made it run, so they must know a little bit about it.
I think they know a little bit more than the garage where I take my car today, having trouble making it run. Now, I just made a note here also that way back, we're going back in time a bit, away around about 30, you took a course as a garage mechanic, is that
right? In Toronto, yes.
Did you not then, a blacksmith back in William let you work around his shop there?
Yes, he was, we used to be quite friendly, and he said, why don't you try your luck at starting the garage in the back of my shop, but that didn't go very good. You fix the car, and then they'd say, well, I'll pay you Tuesday, but they didn't say which Tuesday.
Tuesday never came around.
No.
Now, Ken, getting back a little bit to your time with the company, you told us what you did first. Did you not wind up after a few years driving trucks at the open pit there?
Yes. I was in Coppercliff for about 6 or 7 years, and then I transferred to the open pit. And I drove the haulage trucks there for about 19 or 20 years. And then I bid on a job in the garage as a mechanic, where I wound up.
Well, that sounds fine. I mean, 20 years driving one of those big trucks in the open pit thing there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll be darned. Now, also in your retirement, Ken, you've done a little traveling, is that right?
Yes, we took a good trip 2 years ago up to the Yukon in Alaska. Drove up with a car and a trailer, and then came down the west coast by boat.
Well, now, don't go too fast. Now, that's quite a trip. How long did it take you to get up there? How were the roads and so on? Tell us about that, day by day, sort of, you know?
We were 2 months away, but that Alaska highway is something. There's 1,190 miles of gravel in one stretch, which is pretty grim. It was raining a lot.
It's gravel. I thought it was hard surface. I didn't know that. We all heard about it during the war and everything, but it's a gravel, eh?
It's a gravel road, yeah.
Well, when you left here, first of all, you would drive straight where? West to Edmonton or what?
Yes. We go right to Dawson Creek in northern B.C. Like, that's where the Alaska Highway starts, at Dawson Creek, and it's 1,200 miles to Dawson City. The first 90 miles is paved, and the last 11-10 is gravel.
Well, now, we all remember the old gravel highways, particularly out on the prairies and so on, that they... is it maintained pretty well?
Yes, it's maintained well. The only thing is, when it's raining, there's not much you can do about it. And it's a lot of that gumbo. It's slippery and really a mess. And washboardy, yeah.
Well, I'm just talking to anybody who might be thinking about driving up there.
Yeah.
Why is the Alaska Highway maintained? Why it was a wartime effort? I guess the Canadian government maintains it,
yes.
Or the BC government, or what?
Well, the Canadian government, but actually it's used more by Americans. It's the only way they can drive to Alaska is through
Canada. It's over that highway, yeah,
yes,
that's right.
Yes. So I understand there's a controversy now of trying to get the Americans to kick in and pave it.
Yeah.
To help pave it.
Of course, it gets so cold. Doesn't that present some problems with paving it in the wintertime?
Yes, but Alaska is pretty near all paved once you get to Alaska.
Oh, I see. So there's no good reason for not paving it.
That's right. That's true, yeah.
I'll be.
Yeah.
I don't know that part of the world. You say you would drive sort of, you'd drive west here through Winnipeg and Saskatoon or whatever, I guess.
Yeah,
out to where Dawson Creek, and then head north on the Alaska Highway.
Right, yeah.
And what's at the north end of the Alaska Highway?
That's Dawson City.
How big a place is it? What's it like?
Well, it's called a city, but there's only, maybe a couple of hundred houses. And I couldn't figure out why it was called a city. The reason is, when it was first established, they have acres and acres of ground there in case it became a city. But actually, there's not that many houses in it.
So it's less colorful, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's they're restoring it as it was in 1898, in the time of the gold rush. The buildings were standing there. Some of them were pretty near falling down. But they're gradually restoring them back to their original condition.
Good. Now, you... you panned some gold up there, right?
Yes, we went to a place that set you up there, rent you a pan and everything, show you where to dig, on Bonanza Creek, where the big gold rush was in 98.
And how'd you get on? Did you find any gold?
I spent $3 and got 45 cents worth.
You got about $1.55 worth of experience.
It was
$2.55 or something like that.
Well worth it. It was a lot of fun.
And you made another trip, right?
Yes.
Again?
Last year we went to Newfoundland and then up to Labrador by car.
The faraway places have a call for you or something.
Yes,
right?
we both enjoy it. And this year we plan to go up to the Northwest Territories, probably in the fall, when we can see the harvest in the west on our way through. Last time we went was early in the year, and they were just seeding, so we thought it'd be nice to have a change this year.
Well, you know, it's and you travel in your camper, eh?
Yeah.
Camp along, and
yeah. Just
have you ever been through Prince Albert again?
No, I haven't been back
there. Ever seen the old birthplace?
No. No.
Now, I should know this, but I'm trying to differentiate between the Northwest Territories and Alaska. Now, how do you get up to the Northwest Territories?
Well, it would be sort of east of the Yukon, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, we don't go as far west before you start to go north. I haven't checked out the route we're going to take
yet.
No, we didn't chart a course yet.
Is this the Peace River country you're talking about, or is it east of that?
It'd be east of that, yes. This is like the Hay River country and up that way.
What do you think about this wagon train that started out there? I think they're ever going to make it?
Oh, I doubt it. They might, but
They're certainly doing it the hard way, eh?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I think they're getting a few surprises, though, that they hadn't figured on.
Tell me, Ken, how many miles a day do you average?
Well, on our trips, we averaged about 300 miles a day. Some days, we wouldn't move at all, hardly, but average around 300.
Well, that's enough. Did you have campsites and everything pretty carefully planned before you got there?
No, we just took it as we found it, because we don't like to make a schedule where you've got to be at a certain place at a certain time. We just took our chances and made out very well.
And it worked out, eh?
Oh, yes.
Great. Now, we haven't talked about Mrs. Weaver. She has some hobbies, too. Is I correct
in
saying that?
She couldn't beat me, so she joined me. So she started collecting dishes and old Corlett lamps, record players, or any household articles, and clocks. And she is quite enthusiastic about that.
Well, that's fine. I mean, it's good to hear a fellow who's worked at something he liked, who has a hobby that he's been able to follow in his retirement. Well, now, Ken, I hope this is a fair question to ask you. I mean, I ask a lot of the show people we have on our show here. Things have worked out pretty well for you. I would think you would agree. What advice would you give a young fellow starting out in the world now, eh? As you did at 16 or 17.
I don't know. I'd say the main thing is try and get something that you enjoy doing.
Uh-huh.
That if you have a choice. In the old days, you didn't always have a choice. You took what you could get. But I think the main thing is find something you like doing. It's twice as easy to do as something you don't like doing.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, friends, our guest today has been Mr. Ken Weaver, who retired in 1971 after 35 years with International Nickel. At the time of his retirement, he was a mechanic in the Clarabelle pit. Is that right, Mr. Weaver?
That's right, yeah.
Thank you, Ken Weaver, for having been our guest on Memories and Music.
You're welcome.